Good day, and welcome to the APM Half Year 2023 Results Presentation. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during this session, you will need to press star one one on your telephone. You will then hear an automated message advising that your hand has been raised. To withdraw your question, please press star one one again. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce Executive Chair, Megan Wynne.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for our FY 2023 half year results presentation. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we live and meet upon today. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nations. Globally, APM recognizes the significance of Indigenous peoples' communities and the important role they play within our own workforce and the world. My name is Megan Wynne, and I'm the founder and Executive Chair of APM. I'm joined today by Mike Angie, our Group CEO, Steve Fewster, our Group CFO, and Matt Cooper, our GM of Investor Relations. Firstly, we wish to thank you for your support as shareholders. Today, we'll present our half-yearly results and share how we, as management, see the business, the market, and our excitement for the company's outlook. If you could please move to slide 6, and I'll pass to Mike.
Thanks, Meg. Hi, everyone. Today, we're a team of 14,000 team members supporting more than 2 million people across our 11 countries, delivering on our purpose of enabling better lives. As you can see on this slide, our strategy is to deliver market-leading performance, which drives organic growth, diversify the depth and breadth of our service offerings to align with the clients that we know best, integrate and optimize acquisitions in our core business, and assess and execute on strategic M&A that assists us to build a scale to existing businesses or supports us to enter new markets and adjacent services, where we can ultimately be a market leader. In the first half, we've continued to execute on this strategy. From an organic growth perspective, we've seen the mobilization of Workforce Australia, the DES reallocation, and a two-year contract extension. Extensions and re-tender wins in the U.K. with the WorkHelp program and the NCS Youth contract, and mobilization of the Canadian contracts and continued re-wins across the U.S. We continue to integrate and optimize our acquisitions, with all acquisitions completed in FY 2022 growing strongly. The acquisition of Equus in the U.S. supports our strategy of continuing to diversify the business and access new markets opportunities. The acquisition of Everyday Independence takes us to a leadership position in allied health and NDIS therapy, and the small acquisition of Spring Day supports our digital health offering and enhances our mental health service delivery. Importantly, we continue to deliver on our purpose of enabling better lives, not just in our funded services, but on behalf of all of us in Germany, where we have now supported over 3,700 refugees from Ukraine to resettle in Germany on a pro bono basis. It's been another half where we continue to deliver on our promises to our customers, our people, and our stakeholders. From a financial perspective, we've had another strong half, delivering growth and supporting investment for the future. Revenue is up 39% to 853.7 million. EBITDA is up 21% to 167.4 million, and NPATA is up 11% to 85.4 million. We continue to generate strong cash flow, and the directors have declared a half-year fully franked dividend of 0.05 per share. I'll pass to Steve to run through the financials in more detail.
Thanks, Mike, and good morning to everyone. On slide 8, we provide a summary of APM's P&L. On a PCP basis, revenue for the half was up 240 million dollars, or 39% to 853 million dollars. This was delivered through a combination of organic growth and the businesses we acquired. Organic growth for the half was 13% and came largely from our health business in Australia and the Restart scheme in the U.K. This growth reflects the strength of the core business while supporting major opportunities such as the start-up of Workforce Australia and the mobilization of new contracts commencing in the second half, particularly in Canada. Acquisitions for the half contributed 26% revenue growth, with acquisition of Equus completing in November this business contributed only 2 months of revenue. We'll go through segment performance and outlook shortly. Underlying EBITDA for the half was up 21% and underlying NPATA increased by 11%. The growing contribution from lower margin North American market contributes to the lower margin in the half. Together with the investment in building scale in the health, disability and aged care businesses. As we optimise the health, disability and aged care businesses, we'll see average margins increase. During the half, our effective tax rate was 23%. Turning to slide 10. During this half, we have again mobilised a number of new contracts and completed the acquisition of Equus. We finished the half with a strong balance sheet where our leverage ratio is 2.4 times underlying EBITDA. Over the short term, we expect this to trend back to below 2 times, given the inherent growth that exists within the business. In July 22, following strong interest from the debt market, we successfully replaced our $590 million Term Loan B facility with an $840 million syndicated multi-currency revolving corporate facility. The refinance delivered a 240 basis point margin saving. This saving has now been offset by increases in the base rate. The facility has since been increased to $1.04 billion. This now delivers the capacity and flexibility to confidently pursue our growth strategy. We're also very proud of the fact that this is the first corporate facility in Australia that has been recognised as a social loan. This recognises the social contribution APM makes within the countries that we operate. At 31 December, we had available liquidity of $310 million. On this slide, we now show you our cash flow. The waterfall highlights the reasons why we saw a point-in-time unusually low cash conversion. This was due to the startup of Workforce Australia contract, the maturity in the restart scheme, investment in the startup of the Canadian contract, and the timing of receipts in the US business. In the second half, cash conversion will increase as we receive outcome payments from Workforce Australia and the restart contract. We'll also see the collection cycle in the US kick in, and we'll receive payments for the services that are now being delivered under the veterans contract in Canada. We expect that cash conversion will return to historical levels of above 85% in the coming periods. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Steve. I'll go through each of our segments and how the business is evolving and what we're seeing in each market and cover outlook. Following the Equus acquisition, we've adjusted our segments to reflect the business we operate, being Australia, New Zealand, North America and rest of the world. The change in segments was due to the acquisition of Equus and its materiality changed the business mix. As a result, we changed the structure and reporting, and these segments better reflect the go-forward operating model that we manage the business by. As illustrated on this slide 13, we continue to grow our business globally. Importantly, our strategy is to build a long-term sustainable business that can grow and deliver strong performance through all cycles. Diversity drives resilience, and we're well placed to respond to the challenging and changing market conditions. As you can see, we're increasing our presence in North America and rest of the world, and we're also diversifying our revenue model, growing our non-contract consumer choice business, and balancing our service outcome fee business with stable fixed fee cost plus businesses. We'll continue to execute on this diversification strategy, and the second half will see continued diversification with contributions from acquisitions and the North American expansion. Moving to the next slide, in Australia we've seen strong revenue growth in the half due to the ongoing growth in health, disability and aged care. The NPATA line in the half is down H1 FY22 and up on H2 FY22 due to our investment in health, disability and aged care and the increased interest cost and additional tax. In terms of outlook, we expect to see growth in this segment in coming periods supported by the investments we've made. Covering the key areas of business, firstly Workforce Australia. This contract commenced in July 2022, which required the onboarding and commencement of clients prior to supporting clients on their journey to employment.
The contract is delivering strong outcomes in comparison to industry benchmarks and will continue to mature into the second half. As Steve said, we'll continue to collect cash based on placements received in the first half into the second half. While there's no public market data available, based on our internal analysis of APM's performance versus the overall market, we maintain a 20% performance margin. Turning to disability employment services, during the half there were three significant events. Reallocation of clients, contract extension for 2 years to 30 June 2025, and the commencement of consultation for the new program. We believe that all of these events are positive for APM. We'll see the benefits of the reallocation and investment in the DES client awareness campaigns in future periods, based on the clients that came in during that time. During the half, in DES, our market share has continued to grow due to our strong performance, given the program provides the participants with the ability to choose their provider. In terms of the future DES program, we believe there will be a focus on quality, efficiency and effectiveness, which is a good framework for APM. In health, disability and aged care, we continue to build scale and invest to optimise performance and meet market demand. Our investment is made in the key areas of talent attraction and retention, systems to allow our people to spend more time with clients and provide important data, and in expanding services and accessing new markets. During the first half, the business continued to improve from the COVID-19 period, and this provides a strong platform for growth and profitability into the future. Turning to North America, North America is a key growth market for APM. During the half, we continue to grow with the implementation of the Ontario Employment Program, full half contribution from the DWFS acquisition, and the completion of the acquisition of Equus late in the half, which contributed 2 months' results. As mentioned earlier, whilst our investment in North America reduces overall margins across the group, there is lower variability in performance, given the nature of the contracts being generally cost plus or no margin. The Ontario Employment Services market continues to progressively go to tender, and we were successful in the Phase 1 tender winning the York region that will commence April 2023, and we're now operating in 2 of 6 regions awards to date. We anticipate the Phase 2 tender results will be known later in March. We commenced delivery of the veterans contract in Canada in December 2023 ahead of schedule after continuing to invest in the setup during the half. And across North America, we'll continue to see the benefits of contract wins and acquisitions and grow into the future. Moving to slide 16, the rest of world. Growth was driven by the maturity of the restart contract. Volumes in the program continue to be lower than expected in the half, given the strong employment conditions. And this will result in a lower half contribution in the second half, assuming current market conditions continue. The UK government has stated the focus of increasing workforce participation rates, engagement of people with disability in employment, and addressing the increasing health-related unemployment. As we've seen, the restart scheme and its funding estimates reset based on volume point in time. We have a 21% market share and will continue to be nimble to respond to the needs of that market. We've been successful in the tender for the NCS program, and will deliver across the whole of England under the new program together with our partner YHA England. And in January 2022, we entered the Swedish market through the acquisition of Costera. And as the employment market reforms, we expect the size to grow from 500 million to 800 million per annum. I'll pass to Megan now just to talk through the market fundamentals, and I'll come back to talk about outlook.
Thanks, Mike. If you could move to slide 18, please. The world is facing the most challenging social and economic outlook in 50 years, with governments focused on how they emerge stronger from the COVID-19 pandemic, close the gap on inequality, increase workforce participation to offset enduring skills and labour shortages, and optimise social services to reduce the risk of further societal unrest. In employment services, governments are focused on increasing workforce participation in the face of a rapidly changing world of work impacted by the digital and green transformations and demographic change. Government's capacity to create a multi-generational and inclusive workforce is a challenge providers such as APM can play an important role in supporting. In the United Kingdom, Chancellor Jeremy Hunt has tabled the need to help the millions of people outside of the workforce to fill the vacancies in the jobs market. Chancellor Hunt has also outlined his ambition to help more disabled people and those with mental illness into work, citing a 70% increase in disability claims since the pandemic. In our existing and emerging markets, disability inclusion is high on the agenda, as is supporting labour market inclusion for young people and keeping people engaged in work longer. The cost of care is rising globally, increasing the desire to keep people in their home longer and provide in-home community care as needed, rather than fund more expensive residential care options. Globally, we're seeing an expanding demand for mental health and wellbeing services, as well as employers supporting and enabling employees and their families to focus on prevention and early intervention. From a government stakeholder perspective, we're seeing a sharper focus to ensure that programs deliver a strong return on investment, both financially and societally. By way of example, in announcing our winning NCS National Citizens Service bid in the United Kingdom, a national program for 16 to 17-year-olds to foster social cohesion and build important life and work skills, the NCS Trust quoted that the program delivers value for money with £3 of benefits to society for every £1 spent. And in all recent tenders and re-tenders, we see the increasing emphasis of funders on engaging providers with a proven track record of delivering high-quality service with the organisational capability to ensure program success. For us at APM, we've operated in changing markets since 1994 and in some of our companies for many years longer. We will continue to adapt and invest to ensure we deliver best-in-class, evidence-based services to meet the ever-changing needs of our clients and evolving market conditions, and importantly, to ensure we remain a trusted partner of our stakeholders well into the future. If you could please move to slide 19. As many of you will be aware, the Australian Government is currently undertaking a review into the National Disability Insurance Scheme. The overarching goal of this review is to put people with disability back at the centre of the NDIS and to restore trust and confidence in the scheme. APM is responding to this review and is supportive of the government's objectives. The NDIS market is highly fragmented, with more than 18,000 registered providers of support and a high number of unregistered providers, with few national providers. Today at APM, we provide services to 30,000 of the 570,000 NDIS scheme participants, presenting a significant opportunity for growth. We believe that as the market matures, APM is well placed to become the preeminent provider of support services within the NDIS. The business we're building supports a client from early childhood throughout their lives, is focused on quality, efficiency, and effectiveness, ensuring the participant is at the centre of everything we do, whether that be plan management, therapy services, or in-home support. I'll now pass you back to Mike, and if you could move to slide 20.
Thanks, Megan. As you can see on this slide, our business has a strong foundation of existing and new contracts that continue to scale and grow, opportunities in our growing health, disability, and aged care businesses, and contributions from strategic acquisitions that support growth. Based on the market conditions that we're currently seeing in each of our markets globally, we have significant growth inherent in our business that we have today and can respond to the market changes as we've done so since 1994. In Australia, we'll see our health, disability and aged care businesses continue to grow as we optimise the businesses through investment in talent, systems, diversifying services and expanding market presence. In addition, we'll have a five-month contribution from Everyday Independence in the second half and a full-year contribution beyond that. We'll see Workforce Australia continue to mature. In DES, we'll start to see the outcome contributions from reallocated clients and clients attracted to the business during our campaigns. And in the rest of the world, we'll have the new youth contract that we've won, partly offsetting a softer expected second half from restart. We're focused on the UK market as government continues to respond to its desire to increase workforce participation, given the many millions of working age people not engaged in the workforce. In North America, we'll have a full half contribution from the acquisition of Equus and the commencement of the Canadian Veterans Contract and growth in Ontario Employment Services in the second half of the financial year and beyond. We'll continue to pursue new opportunities in the market and in Canada, we await the phase two tender results for the Ontario Employment Services Program. We await the functional assessments tender results, which should we be successful, would be a major achievement as this is a new market for us as a new entrant. We continue to pursue new contract opportunities in North America and across corporate health. As an example, over the weekend, we've won a new Job Corps contract in the US with a total contract value of US$55 million over 5 years. We're actively assessing organic opportunities in new markets. Overall, assuming no material changes in the markets where we operate, we'll see growth into the second half and expect a second half NPAT skew similar to FY22, which was 54%. Moving to slide 21, and in closing, we're focused on ensuring that we're delivering on our promises to our customers and continue to deliver high quality services across our business. This quality is critical and we believe ensures our success. To do this, we're investing in our amazing people and attract new talent to support our growth. The attraction and retention of talent is a key focus for our leadership and our teams. We'll continue to diversify the business and hence the geographic contributions and revenue models that will provide the resilience to build a sustainable business that can grow year on year for the long term. Australia is the most significant market globally, as the NDIS is the largest human services market and opportunity globally. Its performance success is important for all Australians and not just the participants. And we believe we are part of the solution. And whilst we're a leading player today, it is still a very small part of the ATM business and we're a very small part of the overall NDIS. Today, we're building a leading health, disability and aged care business, and we've only just started this journey and we'll focus on execution and optimisation in the coming periods to drive growth and value. The world of human services, as Megan has covered, has underlying themes that will drive new market opportunities and investment. And we operate in diverse markets where there are new opportunities in core programs and adjacent programs to refocus on, especially in North America, Europe and new markets. From an acquisition perspective, it's important that we digest what we have and optimise its performance. And whilst there's many opportunities in the market, we'll continue to be disciplined. The first half organic growth was 13% and acquisition growth 20%, 26%, both of which are significant in any market. And we expect that to rebalance to favour organic growth over the medium term and revert to our long-term average of 2/3, 1/3 over that period. We expect that the platform we have today, given the full year impact of acquisitions and contract awards, together with continued organic growth in health, disability and aged care, will fuel growth into FY24 and beyond, realising our goal to deliver medium-term profit growth in the mid-teens per annum. Finally, I'd like to thank the APM team members that wake up each day with the sole objective to support our clients, to improve their lives, and all our stakeholders that entrust us to provide essential services. That ends the presentation. And be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Certainly. As a reminder, to ask a question, press *11 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. To withdraw your question, please press *11 again. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. And our first question comes from the line of Michael Peet with Goldman Sachs.
Good morning, Megan, Mike, and Steve. Thanks for taking my questions. First one, just on the cash flow and the working capital build. Firstly, maybe Steve, can you just confirm, you mentioned you expect to get back to over 85%. Is that in the second half itself, or is that by the full year? I guess, you know, I'm thinking, will cash conversion be greater than 100 in the second half, or I'm going down the wrong track there? And just a little bit more colour, if you could, on the $68 million working capital build for Workforce Australia and the other contracts, etc. I mean, how much was Workforce Australia? Does that sort of come back to you? What exactly is it? Is it you're just waiting to get paid by the government, I'm assuming? But if you could just sort of give us more colour on all that, that'd be great.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Michael. In terms of clarifying the 85%, we expect H2 to be at that 85% conversion rate. So for the full year, it will be below, I guess, what we historically achieved. So we'd expect that to revert back to those historical levels in FY24. So it'll be back around that 85 plus% in FY24 on a full year basis. In terms of what's driving that $67 million working capital build up, the Workforce Australia and the Restart scheme in the UK, it's around the timing of when those outcome payments are received. So what we're seeing now, particularly with Workforce Australia, the 26-week outcome receipts have started to come through in January and then again through February. So as an example, last week was our strongest inflow of 26-week outcomes from that program. So we're starting to see that cash conversion coming through from that program. And those two account for around about $37 million in the half. In terms of North America, it's quite a seasonal market, so it's quite pronounced with the addition of Equus. So what we'll start to see, particularly March and April, is quite a strong cash inflow from that part of our business. It's typical. We saw that last year with our grant business. We're seeing it again this year. But as I say, with the size of Equus and those 2 months of trading from Equus, that's certainly far more pronounced on this half. So that would account for around about $15 million. And then in terms of mobilisation costs, so that's us getting ready for the delivery of services under that veterans contract. That commenced on 1 January, but in the meantime, we've taken out property leases, we've recruited people, we've got ourselves set up to be ready to deliver those services. And there's about $7 million that gets capitalised under the balance sheet for that expenditure, but there's no cash inflow. So as we start to deliver services in January onwards, we'll start to get receipts for those costs. So they're the main things that have driven that cash piece. Most of them are one-off and unique because of the timing of when the contract started. And then that North American piece will be a seasonality piece that we'll see year on year.
Okay, just another question. Just on Workforce Australia, could you give us a sense of, should we expect that to be fully ramped in this second half, or is there more sort of seasoning from a profit point of view? And I imagine cash flow, there could be a little bit more investment there as well. But if you could just give us a bit more colour on that, what I'm getting at is the second half really what we should be annualising here, or is there sort of more growth to come across the group?
Yeah, thanks, Michael. The second half will be more reflective of the go forward, assuming there's no significant change in unemployment. To give you some data, what we've seen in the past is a 1% increase in unemployment adds between 150,000 to 200,000 people into program. So, if we're sitting here today, then, it'll second half is more reflective of go forward, subject to there being no major change to clients, which I guess everyone's got a view on where unemployment will head.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Tim Plum with UBS.
Yeah, hi guys. Just a couple of questions from me, if possible, please. Michael, you gave a bit of colour in terms of the tender pipeline, Ontario Stage 2 contract, I think you were mentioning March timing. Can you remind us of the scale of that opportunity there, and then maybe the scale and timing of the subsequent stages within that pipeline, and then maybe just touch on other key contracts that are in the tender pipeline at the moment in terms of scale and timing, please?
Yeah, thanks, Tim. So in terms of pipeline, NCS was probably the first one in the pipeline, which we've been announced as a successful bidder of the new program. Then we moved to Ontario Employment Services. So phase two is underway at the moment. We expect results, sometime in March. The total size of that phase is about $200 million with a contract value of around 60 million Canadian per annum for a region that obviously we think we're well placed for. And then the final phase is a total contract value of $300 million. However, that's yet to be split into what size each individual contract would be. In terms of functional assessments, as we said, it's a new market for us in the UK. We've bid that. Those results are expected in Q4. We've been through all the processes there, and now we're awaiting those results. In terms of other market opportunities and what we're looking at the moment, whilst we don't outline our pipeline, in the North American marketplace, one of the reasons we've gone and invested in that marketplace is obviously the size and scale. And it's good to see that we're now, one, winning new important rebids. So we've won re-won the Puerto Rico Job Corp contract, US $100 million contract over 5 years, a great re-win to prove that even as Equus, we can continue to do that. And now what we've done, if you may recall, we put a team in to pursue Job Corp in the US, we've just won our first new Job Corp contract just outside Buffalo, which is $55 million over 5 years. So, they're really good contract wins, and we have a really strong pipeline in that marketplace. As well as, globally, there's a lot happening in human services, as Meg's indicated, and we'll continue, our team will continue to pursue opportunities organically in all the markets that we're in, as well as the markets where stakeholders are asking us to come to.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Gretel Janu with Credit Suisse.
Thanks. Good morning, all. Just with Equus, seems to really outperform in that 2 months. Was there anything in particular that we should be aware of there in terms of seasonality, or did that just do better than your original expectations? Thanks.
Gretel, the business performed to what we expected during due diligence. I think all our North American businesses, though, are performing really strongly. Understanding that we've been invested in the other ones for a period and obviously been focused on Canada for a long time. So Equus is performing as we expected, but we're really pleased that of the way the team's fitting in and the fact that they're winning rebids. We're adding value, and we've sort of combined the BD resources and learning from each other. So I think it's performing as we expected, but the overall, we're really happy with the way the overall North American business is performing. Understanding though that the contracts are outside of Canada are fairly small, so it's incremental steps rather than major steps.
Yep, no, understood. And then just in terms of Early Start Australia, are you able to give us any indication of how that performed in the half?
So from a health perspective, as you know, Early Start in the health business was pretty challenged during the COVID period, and those results were really transparent about that. I mean, as what we're seeing now is those businesses return to profitability in the first half. They'll continue to grow and scale. We're investing, of course, in talent because, this is a market that talents everything, and, we need to put great therapists into our clinics in the markets that have demand. So there's an investment ahead of the curve, both in terms of headcount, but also in terms of it takes time to train people up. So back to profitability, but a long way to go. And, we're really looking forward to those businesses, continue to, mature and optimise and markets return to some normality going forward.
Understood. And then secondly, just in terms of the outlook, how much do you anticipate interest costs to rise in the second half?
Interest costs, I think, in the first half around $18 million, and I think we're probably looking around $21 million in the second half.
Okay, excellent. And then in terms of integration costs as well, how much do you expect that to impact the overall cash result?
Oh, gosh.
Within Australia, it'll be at a similar level to what we currently have. Which is, it's about a run rate of about three. And then in the US with Equus, we're just looking at how we set that up for integration.
All right. Excellent. That's all I had. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Gretel.
Thank you. And we have a follow-up question from the line of Michael P. with Goldman Sachs.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Just maybe, Steve, just on that debt, could you just remind us what's fixed versus floating on your rates?
Yeah, it's 100% floating.
Okay, easy. Mike, you've called out the lower restart contribution. Could you just... Sorry, go ahead.
So, Michael, just to clarify, when I say floating, that's the BBSY component, and then obviously the margin on top of that is set.
Yeah, no, understood. Thank you. Just on, Mike, just on the restart, you've called out lower contribution. Could you quantify that a little bit? I'm just trying to get a sense of how much below the first half sort of on a revenue and what are you going to do in terms of profitability on that therefore? Can you flex your cost base? I imagine there's obviously service levels you've got to maintain. So I just wondered what sort of hit that would be on margin. Thanks.
Hi, Michael. Matt Cooper here. So I'll just outline the evolution of that UK restart contract. So the volumes are lower. The National Audit Office has put a report out. It's a point in time assessment of where they think the market's trending. The volume's lower for two reasons: stronger labour market, but also participation rates are dropping, so people are leaving. And I mentioned that second point because there lies an opportunity for APM to support the government as they need to access a greater labour force. In terms of what it means for APM financially, on a total contract basis, it's a 24% decline in total contract value. We'll see that flow through into the second half and subsequent periods. It's going to be, we're able to manage margin through making sure that our workforce is reflective of the volumes being managed. So we've got flexibility on that front. So whilst at this point in time, it is a reduction, we do need to wait and see how that market evolves because it does in fact present an opportunity for us.
Okay, thank you.
The strange thing, Michael, in the UK that you sort of experience at the moment is, and you would have maybe if you read what Chancellor Hunt, as Megan referred to, has been saying, is, you know, the amount of people out of employment is higher than it's ever been. You know, somewhere between 6.6 million to 9 million, depending on which day. Million people outside the market.
Awesome.
And then you have a really large cohort of those who are out of the market because of health-related illnesses through the COVID-19 period. So you have this situation where there's a huge amount of people unemployed. You have Restart that's a program point in time aimed at a certain cohort. And, you know, really our expectation is that that program and others will pivot to help this large number of unemployed UK citizens. But timing's everything, right? We're just going to wait to see when that plays out.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. And our next question is a follow-up from Tim Plum with UBS.
Hi, guys. Apologies. Just a couple of questions from me again. So, Michael, I think you mentioned it a little bit before, but Des industry volumes were down. Can you talk a little bit more or give us a bit more colour in terms of how that flowed through to your Des business? If you're able to give us any sort of indication in terms of how many of the 15,000 candidates you guys picked up, and also how we should think about this business going forward into the next 12 months, please.
Yeah, sure. So, Tim, I mean, I'd say we have an incredible team that runs our disability employment services business and our employment services business, market leading, and our business delivers, you know, really quality service and outcomes, which is what the program is set up for. So whilst the market has declined over the period, I think the number of clients in the total program has declined, what we've seen is two things. And let me say, firstly, you have total clients and you have active clients. So we went through the reallocation. I think we've said before about 4,400 clients came into APM during that period. And the other way that we manage our active caseload is obviously engaging with
the clients to the outside program to come into program. So what we've actually seen is that our client numbers in our active caseload, which is the clients that potentially can go to employment, has actually increased during that period. So we haven't seen a decline. But overall, if you look at our overall client numbers, whilst the market's gone down, I think, you know, call it 13 or 14%, we're down, you know, 2% during that period. So, you know, what we expect is that that program continues to deliver and perform. Of course, we have the new market and the tender that will come out, you know, sometime in the exposure draft. Look, if they follow history, exposure draft comes out May and June 2020. Four with a tender around September 2024, and we really think that based on all our conversations, is that there's a commitment to the program to remain a specialist program that is specialised, and it will really focus on high quality service delivery that can increase the outcomes and participation for people with disability in the workforce. So we're seeing a little differently to the rest of the market based on our business and the way we run our business.
Got it. Thanks for that. Second question, just around Workforce Australia and the online pipeline. Any update there in terms of potentially getting them in front of people?
Yeah, so there's, as we see the data we're looking at, there's about 130,000 people in online servicing at the moment. We think there's about 10,000 that are ready to come out to service providers shortly. That will certainly, that's a large number, and that will obviously drive volumes. And as I said before, you know, historically we've seen for an 1% increase in unemployment between 150 and 200,000 people going to the job active program. So let's assume that's similar. So we think that online will start to be a large flow of clients. And the government really needs to assess, and we know they are assessing, is online an appropriate way to support people who are out of employment that need support and are on benefits, or is there another way? Or should they come out of online earlier? So they're live discussions that continue.
Got it. And then just one more question around acquisitions. You guys have got $300 million of firepower, but you're sitting at 2.4 times net debt to EBITDA. Can you give us a bit of an indication in terms of how you're thinking about the potential for acquisitions over the next 6 to 12 months in the context of that balance sheet, please?
Yeah, look for us, we have a really, I guess, a platform in place that focusing on optimization and of that health, disability and aged care platform is a real priority. And of course, the Equus acquisition is a priority for us. So in terms of the pipeline of acquisitions, we have a pipeline, but I really think as a business, as a team, it's important we digest what we have and we optimise it. And sure, if the right market opportunity comes on and we won't, you know, it's a game changer like Everyday Independence or Equus, you know, the right thing would be to pursue that. But we need to also focus on this optimisation of what we've got. And even focusing on optimisation will deliver the majority of our growth through the medium term. We don't need to do much more than just run this business really well going forward.
Got it. And sorry, just putting all of that together, if I can chuck in one final question. Given the pipeline of opportunities that you're seeing, the ramp up of the Australian contracts, the UK restart, et cetera, can you touch a little bit in terms of how you're thinking about FY24 shaping up?
Yeah, look, I mean, for us and for me anyway, and Megan, yeah, we're pretty simple in terms of modelling. We look at FY23, we say, well, we're going to have a full year of Equus, we're going to have a full year of Everyday Independence, we're going to continue to optimise and mature the health, disability and aged care businesses. We have the new Canadian contracts coming on board. Hopefully we'll have more in Canada following the next round of contract wins. We've got a number of contracts globally in terms of the smaller ones that we don't talk about, whether it's US employment and smaller contracts in Germany and our other markets. We'll see if volumes don't change in the UK, we'll see, as Matt covered, a drop in restart, an increase in interest rates, an increase in tax. And I guess that's the bridge that I would look at if I was bridging this business, as to how
we see significant growth into FY24, and that growth continues into FY25 and beyond. But that's the bridge that we look at. And, it's not that difficult to bridge the earnings in this business at a macro level.
Great. That's useful. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And I'm showing no further questions. So with that, I'll hand the call back over to Group CEO, Michael Angie, for any closing remarks.
Thanks, everyone. Really appreciate your support and interest in the APM story. And, we look forward to continue to deliver for the people that we support and for our stakeholders. And, look forward to meeting face-to-face over the coming days or online. So appreciate your support. So thank you. And thanks for the organiser. That was a good commentary.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for participating. This concludes today's program.